Hi, I'm Luan.
Hi, I'm Dwaylen.
And welcome to the Marriage DNA Podcast.
Come join the conversation.
Our podcast, Marriage DNA, is something my wife and I felt really led of the Lord to do to help keep families in business, to speak to husbands and wives and to families about God's constitution, marriage. It's something that is serious and should be adhered to, the covenant that we make, because those vows we make, we actually make those vows as unto the Lord. I know we speak to one another or each other, but those are vows that we make unto the Lord that should be adhered to and taken very seriously.
We just want to share God's perspective on the covenant of marriage and the foundation. Once the husband and wife are on one accord, then it builds a strong foundation for a family. So we first have to start there. But on the Marriage DNA podcast, some of the topics that we will be discussing that will be coming up, we will talk about the three things you need to talk about before you say, I do.
Okay.
We'll go over those in depth and share those three things. So be sure to tune in. Don't want to miss it. Defining marriage, because we have, in the society we live in, with social media, television, entertainment, we have an idea of what a husband is, and we have an idea what a wife is, but it's from the external, only from the outside and not the internal, and what God's word has to say about that. People have ideas, you know, but we want to make sure we have the God ideas. The right image.
Right, I agree.
We want to talk about also, we're going to talk about busting the myth of I'm marrying you and not your family. That's a phrase that I actually used to believe that, hey, I'm not marrying them, I'm marrying you. But I have come to learn over the years and through my experiences, that's not true.
Because we're married, when we say I do, we actually are married into that family.
Right.
We're marrying into their beliefs, their upbringing, and everything that comes with that.
Right.
And we've heard that a lot.
Yes.
We've heard that a lot over the years, other couples, relationships we know of, where people say that.
Right.
But we have to, like you said, we'll debunk that or whatever.
Exactly.
That myth.
Because, like you said, when you are marrying that person, you're marrying their beliefs, their traditions, their customs, their culture, their religion, whatever that may be, a lot of things, generationally, a lot of things. And these are things that you will not actually know until, you know, later as you both grow together.
And when you say,
when you say, I do,
that's when you begin to, these things begin to come up and you may not have known initially, but you learn those things. I mean, for instance, like one of the things, like when we first got married, shortly thereafter, I mean, I grew up, you know, my grandparents raised me, and I grew up, and my grandmother would always make me a very big breakfast. And I was a growing boy. And so my grandmother would make me a nice big breakfast about every day. Every other day. And so I carried that into my marriage. We got married. Well, actually, it was the morning after. I was cooking breakfast just on, you know, a belief system. I was cooking breakfast. My breakfast consisted of about 3 to 4 eggs, 5 to 6 strips of bacon, about 3 toasts. And the woman woke up. And she came in there and she, in the kitchen, and she thanked me for making breakfast for both of us. Oh, but I said, oh, did you want me to make you some? Because this was for me. Mm-hmm. And so that was the beginning of marriage DNA. That was the beginning because, I mean, when I was cooking breakfast, what was going through your mind when you initially thought that breakfast was for you?
I thought this man was so wonderful. I said, ooh, I can't wait. I said, I don't even like eggs. I'm going to even eat the eggs. This man is making me breakfast in bed. And yeah, that didn't happen. Now, that breakfast, all of that was for him. And that was probably one of our first disagreements, intense fellowship.
But it wasn't bad because we ended up still sharing the breakfast.
Yes.
Because I was like, oh, this was for me. Well, tell me this. What went through your mind after I told you, oh, this is for me. Would you like for me to make you some? Or did I even offer to make you some?
Yes, you did. You said, oh, did you want me to make you some too?
So what went through your mind at that point in time?
The music stopped and that record scratched. That's what was going through my mind. And I could not believe that you had fixed the amount of food that you did for yourself. I thought it was for both of us.
And so that was the beginning of me learning how to share and compromise. It all started the morning after we said, I do.
Absolutely.
And we just, from that point on, compromise, I began to understand compromise, working together, working as a team, and things like that. So you guys have a lot to look forward to. We have many years of experience, things we're going to share definitely out of the Word of God. I experienced, you know, also with raising our children, how, you know, that worked for us. The creative things I believe God gave us as parents.
Yes.
But the things he gave us creatively as a team, as a union, as a husband and wife. And so you guys have a lot to look forward to. We will also be incorporating in the topics. We will also be having episodes where we will come on and it will be an episode of intercessory prayer where we will be praying for our follower families and, you know, friends, you know, because I believe intercession is so important that families that truly stay together, they have to pray together. That has been at the basis of our household prayer, that foundation. And so you guys will have that to look forward to because we will be interceding for you, your spouses and your family as well.
Most of the time, most people are the question they have about how do you keep the marriage going?
Okay.
How do you keep the, I want to say some words like maybe romance or excitement or what have you. How do you keep the marriage going? It's very simple. In order for you to have longevity in marriage is, first of all, you have to have respect for one another. You have to have forgiveness, compromise, and of course, love.
Yeah.
Those are the things. I mean, yes, we do. We, you know, date night is great. It's wonderful. You have to carve out time, schedule, do that. Take turns. Don't look for her just to do it. Don't look for him just to
right.
do it. You know, but longevity in marriage, respecting one another, respecting what each other thinks, forgiveness. You have to be open to forgiveness. You have to forgive him. You have to forgive her. Compromise. It can't be just one-sided. It doesn't have to be a battleground, even over what we're going to have for dinner. It doesn't have to be a battleground. You have to compromise. That's one of the first things you're going to learn. The second thing, I said forgiveness is the first thing. Compromise is the second thing. And of course, the foundation, of course, should be love. You're doing this because you love God and you love each other. That should be the basis for you even getting there. Just wanted to, because that's the question that we've been asked, and that's the question that we do get, you know, well, how do you keep it going? What, you know, what are the things, you know what to do, you know what that, what your spouse likes, and you know what they dislike. So, you know, we'll be coming basically a lot of times from our experience, of course, and the Word of God.
Yeah, that's true. I know, like, early on in our marriage, I can't remember. It was early on. We was going through a rough patch. But we were so young when we got married. We was going through a rough patch. So we had talked about divorce. Remember?
Yes.
We talked about divorce. And, yeah, we talked about it. We We talked about it. But I don't know. I think I was like at work one day and I said, you know what? I'm going to fight for my marriage. And so we talked about that. We talked about we're going to stick with it. Mm-hmm. And so we just decided, we made a conscious decision to whatever problems we had at that time, mm-hmm. that we were going to overcome them, and we were just going to move forward in our marriage. And that's, once we made our mind up, that's what we did. And the problems and situations that we had, they became minuscule, and we moved on. And I'm grateful to God that we did. We decided to push past that, push through that, because really divorce, it would have forfeited so many other blessings, I believe, that God had for us, yes. As a couple and then as a family. Because we had our oldest child then, but if that had happened, we wouldn't have been blessed with the other three.
Right. That's so true.
And so I thank God that we decided to move forward, to fight for our marriage. And I want to encourage you all that are listening. If you're going through a rough patch, it's okay. We all experience rough patches. Get on your knees together and pray, seek God, and ask that His will be done. And so I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for that.
I didn't maybe think about back to that time. I think we had been married about 2 years.
Yeah.
And we were really, really young when we got married. I do agree with what you said, and very powerful what you said. We made a conscious decision, an effort to stay married, to fight it out, because it would have forfeited many blessings for us and for our family. And the things that God had planned and purpose for our lives together.
Right.
And we wouldn't have had the opportunity to be sitting here today had that taken place and it had been terminated.
Right.
So, and definitely Satan would have won. We're definitely stronger together. And I will say this to the married couples, that's very true. You will have days, you will have times and seasons where everything is not happy or what we're expecting, or you go through things. And it's about how you come through it together, not fighting each other, and then separately how you deal with it. It's about coming together. Stop planning your exit strategy, because when my husband walked in the door and said, hey, I don't want to be married anymore, we have been married 2 years, I started planning my exit strategy. I'm like, okay, I'm still young. I just have one child. I'm 21. I think I was 21 by that time. I mean, I can meet somebody else. So stop planning your exit strategy.
Right.
You said I do to a person. You're married to them. Stop planning your exit. Stop planning for the divorce. Stop planning for your out and start planning for your future. Start planning for you to be happy, for you to have a path, for you to have goals together. You know, of course, you can't do everything together. That wouldn't be wise. I mean, you need to have some separate things, but be supportive of each other. So that's what we do, because that's the natural side. That's the fleshly side to plan my exit. Well, I ain't got to put up with you. I have an exit. I can always move back with my mama, my parents. And no. The plan is to stay, be husband and wife, and stay married to each other and love one another and not bail on one another when something rough comes along.
Exactly. And we have too much of that. Even now I see spouses bailing on one another, mm-hmm. when times get tough. No, stay in there. Mm-hmm. Stay in there. Fight for what you believe God has put together.
Right.
And don't bail. I mean, right. You see so many, it's so easy for couples to bail on each other. Yeah. Now, you know, people did it then,
right.
And they do it now, but I'm like, Stay the course.
Right.
Stay the course. When you say I do, that you burned the bridge. There is no going back. The bridge, the plan B, the plan C, D, E, F, and G, all of that, when you say I do, the only plan there is God's plan for the two of y'all, and that's to move forward. Because God is not about you going backwards, but he's about forward progress.
Yes.
And so when you say I do, you burn all bridges. There's nothing to go back to. No, going back to mama and daddy or another family member, that's not an option. Stay the course.
Right.
Stay the course.
Yes. And I would say, now, please let me be clear. Let me be very clear. This only works if both of you want it to work.
Absolutely.
Now, as far as one person trying to drag another and trying to convince another and trying to manipulate another,
right,
trying to force that person or the other, vice versa, that won't work.
No.
You both have to want it. If you both don't, then that's a different entirely. But you have to both want it to work. It can't be one person lauding their authority over the other. It just doesn't work. You can't be giving the other person ultimatums. That doesn't work. That always backfires. So that's why we're telling you, you got to get on your face. You got to get on your face, your knees, and pray. Seek God for your life, for the life of your spouse, for the life of your marriage, for the life of your family. Because it is life. It is a living covenant. Marriage is a beautiful, awesome union because God allows us to marry a man and a woman to marry and then come together and live in the same household. And from that point on, as you live and grow and get to know each other, you have a family. And it's so awesome that you get to be with this person. And then what's so awesome, when you have your children, you produce one blood.
Right.
Which is life in itself. And we will talk about that in another one of our sessions and another one of our podcasts. And, you know, like we said, we're looking forward. We have so many things we want to share our hearts on.
Absolutely.
And help in any way that we can. We believe this is an assignment from God. And we're just looking forward to sharing marriage DNA. And I could give you the scientific definition of DNA. We know what that is, but we will talk about how you become one flesh.
Yeah. And one of the things, the premise of our podcast is found in the Word of God, Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And if I may, I want to talk about something really, really quick here. Something that happened in our marriage. I think we had been married at this time about 14, 15 years. It was anniversary time. And this is when we talk about DNA, the divine connection. I want to share this with you all because it'll be easily identified. But this is something was a great identifier, which I knew she was the one God had ordained for me. I'd already known that before this time. But listen at this, y'all. We had been married about 14 to 15 years. It was anniversary time. And what we would always do when it's time for anniversary, we would always sit down and we would give each other, you know, cards. And so this one time we were sitting in our living room. We gave each other cards. And wouldn't you know, it was the cards were identical. I bought my card, we'll say, from Walgreens, and she may have picked up a card from CVS or Walmart. Different days, but it was the same card. When I opened the card and started reading it, and she started reading her, we looked, we said, wait a minute, these are the same cards. That's the marriage DNA, people. That is the marriage DNA. We could not have planned that. That happened divinely.
Yes.
You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
No.
I know we can't elaborate on that.
Because we were crying.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful.
Yeah, guys, we were both. We were head to head.
We were crying.
We were crying. because we couldn't believe it. But that is what God can do in a relationship if you will allow Him to.
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring that point out about the true marriage DNA. And we're going to talk further in other upcoming episodes about marriage DNA. We're going to dig into the scripture and really talk about marriage DNA, what that looks like, what it is, what it looks like.
Okay, guys, until next time, thank you for listening and thank you for joining the conversation with Marriage DNA.
All righty. See you next time. Love you.